Good. Let's start here. Father, once more, we're celebrating the fact that we are loved by you. What you want to share today is life-changing. What you're going to share with us is going to change so much in our lives. It's going to be so helpful for us to be able to walk with you, to be able to understand what's taking place, to be able to appropriate so much that you have given to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ability to teach, to guide us, to help us understand your counsel, your wisdom, your might, just your understanding, your knowledge, every aspect and fear of the Lord. And we want to just so appreciate your ministry within each and every one of us, but also in every believer in our nation at this time. So we want to thank you as you stir up within the family, your family, Father, by the Holy Spirit, you're stirring up a passion, stirring up understanding, awakening taking place. And we want to thank you this morning through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. I think, yeah, let's start. Yeah. Today's one of those, keys of the kingdom that God wants to just release. It's going to be extremely helpful for us to be able to understand, just something about the mind of God in regards to how he thinks, how he works. As we look at our scriptures here about the gospel of salvation, God's gospel, God's good news, and that. But before we start, just in the background of your mind, there's the original sin, and there's the personal sin. Okay, now, as we go on in the good news of God to mankind, you will see how these play a big part in understanding the way God works with you and I, with T. And we want to just touch a little bit on the original sin. And it's a doctrine that is, I think, needs to be resurrected, in the believer's life. Is what we call imputation, not amputation, okay, not impartation, but imputation, imputation. And we're going to look at that, and you'll see when we start to grasp that, you'll understand so much of the sacrificial system in the Old Covenant. You'll understand so much on the way God deals with you and I through his Son, Jesus. You'll understand righteousness. You'll understand the incredible reality of what God has done through his Son Jesus and our position in Christ Jesus, because of what he has imputed, what he has credited to our account, and how he thinks of it and how it actually works. It'll also offer a deep understanding of the place of faith. And we'll understand why the Holy Spirit has been teaching us about simply belief. And Abraham is an example. And if we go back to Abraham, remember in Romans 4 and verse 3, Abraham believed and God credited to him righteousness. That credited is imputation. Okay, so that's what we're looking at over there. How God somehow put Abraham in a position of a right standing in God's approval, and how that works. Also, we'll understand when in the Hebrews, the writer in Hebrews about the portion of faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And all this will start to open up now as we continue with this incredible good news of God to mankind. The gospel of God is not just what we hearing this. It's good news. And that, so let's start. And, we're going to look at some scriptures here this morning as we continue where we left off last week. just to get into the direction, remember we start looking at Romans chapter 1, and then verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so this is what we've been looking at all the time over the past couple of weeks. Now, first of all, just to emphasize this, that we're speaking about the gospel of God. Jesus Christ is God's good news to mankind. If you can recall back to the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, remember there where the shepherds are there in the field. And an angel came, and what did the angel say to the shepherds? Do not be afraid, I bring you good news. I bring you the good news from God, the gospel of God. Okay, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. So yeah, we see the universality, not just for the Jews anymore. Today in town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So God's good news is his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why when we looked at there in verse 17 of Romans chapter 1 or verse 16, Paul is right over there, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Remember, we looked at Abraham. Abraham was credited. Righteousness was imputed to Abraham. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And then we carried on there, verse 8, 19, and so forth. And then also we touched a little bit on 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want us to go also in verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but preach the gospel. This is the gospel of God that is preaching. This is the good news that God has shared to humanity in his son, through his son. Okay. And so Jesus Christ is the good news of God. And that's why any preaching and any teaching, any prophecy, anything that is outside the framework of the good news of God through his son Jesus, about his son, and that you need to be very careful, because the good news is his son Jesus Christ, the centrality of him, who he is, what he has done, where he is, his position now, everything about his son Jesus. That's the good news. It's through his son. But Paul writes here, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ, again, it's a cross-centered, be emptied of its power. And then he carries on there, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And then he carries on, but I want to emphasize in verse 24, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God. So when we speak about this good news of God is the power of salvation, we're referring to Jesus Christ. Only he could take us out of the dominion of, only he could deal with what happened when Adam disobeyed God. Only Christ Jesus, nothing else, no human ability, no human plan, nothing. Okay? That is why that simply believing, Abraham simply believed, and God placed Abraham in a right standing. he had God's approval. Okay, that's what righteousness is, approval. And that Abraham had God's approval because he just simply believed God, and he was then credited righteousness. And so here we carry on. But Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Very, very important when we understand these things as we continue over there. So the wisdom of God is referring to the way God thinks. It's referring to his just everything about what God does and how he does it there. But the focus is on the mind of God, the way God thinks. And so the way God thinks is so, so important for us to understand the understanding of how God imputes, how God transfers what he's thinking to us. Okay? And that's another word you can use, transfer. So here we've got over here, for he is the wisdom of God. He became for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So now, I want us to go to Romans chapter 5, because that's where we're going to be dealing with today. In Romans 1, we start to hear that there's a good news from God. And Paul begins to understand, to unlock that from verse 6. In other words, this incredible good news, where a righteousness from God is being made known. But also there is those who are rejecting it. There is the wrath of God is also being revealed. And then in Romans chapter 2, he continues to unlock that theme. And we see the condition of mankind and how God has handed over those that have suppressed the truth. He's handed them over to that deception, that sin and all that there, to their desires. And that's the reality. In chapter 3, he continues and he says that's not only for the Jew, but also for the Gentiles as well, because the law of God is written in the hearts of man. The Jews had received the written law, but all mankind has received the law that's already in the hearts. And that, and so he explains, and then he goes on and says, now all of mankind is under the power of sin. And then he starts to introduce the reality of a righteousness that is received by faith and not by the works of the law. And that, and then he carries on, and then in Romans chapter 4, that's when he introduces Abraham as the example. And he's referring to the journey of faith now. How do we receive the righteousness of God? And he's speaking about this righteousness that the good news of God reveals, that's in his son Jesus Christ. It is with faith that we receive that. It's that simply believing what God has said. And so Abraham is the example of that. Then we get to Romans chapter 5. And he's continuing with that, because now he begins to speak about the original sin and what took place that affected all of mankind. And so in verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, okay, since we have been acquitted through faith, we simply believed when God spoke to us. Faith comes from hearing. Someone shared the gospel, or some way we were reading the Bible, whatever the case may be, and we knew God spoke, and we just simply believed. And because we simply believed, nothing more, nothing less, we were acquitted. We have now been justified. We have now, by simply believing God, we have now been placed in a state, in a position of God's approval. We're in a right relationship with God. Okay? It's got nothing to do with our personal sin yet. Nothing at all that we come to as part of the good news. But right now we're looking at a position that we had before we believed, and a position we now have because we simply believed what God said. Okay? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the centrality of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the good news, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. This is important because you and I, we minister to folk, and many people are afraid of death. Many believers are afraid of death. Many people are, particularly when they come close to the end of their life, have they done enough to be accepted by God? You see, that's a thing in many Christians that is in them, and there's a fear and not looking to die in there. They don't want to die because have they done enough? You see, that's why this is an important understanding of the way God thinks and how it affects you and I. And that's what we're dealing with. And then it carries on. And then in verse 6, you see just at the right time, we were powerless. The gospel of God is the power of God for salvation. Christ is the power of God. When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the unrighteous. Christ died for the sinner. Christ died for you and I. We weren't even righteous yet. He's already done it. How are we going to get his righteousness? Okay? Very rarely, and it carries on over there, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Then it carries on: since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were still God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Okay. Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Now we're getting to, we dealt with this, but now God wants to open up this more for us now. Because, sure, what God is sharing now, as I shared in the introduction over there, it's a kingdom key that is vital for you and I as believers to be able to walk in, to receive by faith, and to know how to live. Verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man. Okay. Therefore is tying up what Paul has been writing. And he's been speaking about the Jews and the Gentiles. He's been speaking about all sin, all under the power of sin, etc. And then he comes and he says, now, therefore, just as sin entered the world. In other words, sin existed before it entered the world through Adam. Sin existed before it entered the world through the one man, Adam, bringing in death and sin to all mankind. Remember, we looked last week, John chapter 1, verse 3. Let me just read that scripture again. In verse 8. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So here is an incredible reality that before Adam had sinned, Satan had already rebelled against God. So lawlessness existed before it came into the world through Adam. So you can just imagine, here is God's incredible creation of man, Adam and Eve, in his image. Adam and Eve, they walked in total reality of simply believing God. There was a fellowship. Everything was in the state of perfection. They were in a right relationship, with right standing with God, had God's approval. God said, it's good. They've got God's approval. Satan thinks, how am I going to get lawlessness into this world? That's the temptation. So here we have Satan, who has been sinning, he's already rebelled, And he wants to get this creation of God. He wants to bring in lawlessness into this world. And so he tempts Eve. He then responds and he listens to Eve, and Adam disobeys. Remember, sin is lawlessness. So Adam is breaking the law of God. He's breaking the command of God. When God said there are the two trees, you can eat of the tree of life, but don't eat that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it's not about the knowledge of good and evil over here. It's about the choices. It's about lawlessness. It's about obedience or disobedience. And that. And so just as Satan rebelled against God, and now he wants to get it into mankind, because Satan is anti-God. Remember, he's the Antichrist. Remember, now he wants to bring in the destruction of all what God has done. He hates God, and he wants to cry. And so now he comes and he tempts. So that through one man, through Adam's disobedience, this lawlessness now comes into the world. Sin now enters the world through just one man, Adam. And as a result, the wages of sin is death. As the, remember God, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. The wages of disobeying, the wages of lawlessness is death. So now Adam disobeyed God. Now the wages, now the consequences, now the reality comes into this world, and lawlessness comes into this world. So what happens over there? And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. This is the doctrine of what we call imputation. What does this mean? This means that, well, first of all, let's go back over there. The Hebrew and Greek for this word impute means thinking, considering. So it's speaking about the mind. It's speaking about thoughts. It's speaking about considerations. It's speaking about the mental capacity of God in the way God thinks. Okay? So here we see there's that aspect, but there's also the other aspect of this word that means to charge to the other person's account. And that's where Abraham, righteousness was credited to Abraham. So the righteousness of God was charged to his account. And Abraham now was now considered to be righteous, and he just simply believed. Nothing more. Okay. So that's what we're looking at over here. Now we see this incredible thing. In God's way of thinking, God, see, to think, let me try and explain this. To think, this is a Greek over here, to think of belonging to someone and therefore to cause it to belong to that person. So God thinks that the righteousness of Christ belongs to you. And because he's thinking of that, you actually receive and it actually belongs to you. That's what's taking place over here. So here we see God thinks of Adam's sin as belonging to all of human mankind, to all of humanity. And because he thinks that, it actually does. That it actually does that. That's why faith is the substance. That's why faith brings what God is thinking to actually to we actually then begins to belong to you and I, and we start to live in that reality. So this is what's taking place over here. It's all about the mind of God. It's about his thoughts are higher than man's thought. That's why this wisdom of God is beyond human wisdom, as we saw there in 1 Corinthians chapter 17, about the philosophies and about the debates and all that of man and the intelligence of man. It's foolishness, because God thinks totally different to mankind. That's why the cross is foolishness, but for in God's sight, it's his wisdom. Christ is his wisdom. And that, because that's how God thought. And so here we have, as I shared earlier, as Adam disobeyed God, God said, you will surely die. And so God's thought says, because of Adam's disobedience, all of mankind, what Adam did has been transferred to all of humanity. So all of humanity have sinned. All of humanity dies. That's why before personal sin becomes a reality, people died. That's why today a baby can be born and within 6 months the baby can die. It's not because they've done any personal sin, but because of this incredible original sin of Adam and the consequence of Adam, all have sinned. Therefore, all die. The wages of sin is death. And so this is what God is busy helping us to understand, that because of one man, death came to all people. And so we carry on over here, and then we carry on in verse 15. But the gift is not like the trespass, because now, remember, the comparison is the one man, Adam, and the one man, Christ Jesus, in Romans chapter 5. And so the consequences of one man, how God thought about consequences of Adam's disobedience and how it's credited to all of mankind, it's imputed to all of mankind, it's charged to all of mankind now, that sin of Adam belongs to all of humanity. There's no way out of that. That's how God thought about it, and that's the actual reality of that. That's why all have sinned. There's no one that's righteous, etc., etc. And that now we come, and here he starts to bring Christ Jesus. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more that God's grace and the gift that comes by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. God's thoughts. Here, Satan brings in sin into the world. Adam responds. Lawlessness comes. Sinfulness comes into this world. From that moment on, all of Adam's descendants, all of humanity are born in a state of disapproval, in a state of lawlessness, in a state that is not acceptable to God. And so all are guilty. All are guilty. All receive the condemnation. The wages of sin is death. No one can escape that. Now, here comes Jesus, the one man Jesus, only him, only Christ Jesus, born, conceived by the Holy Spirit, does not have the Adamic consequences of having that fallen nature, having that in him, because he is the Son of God. And so here we see Christ Jesus now being born, and only Christ in his total obedience. That's why he's sinless. He never broke the law. He fulfilled the law. Only Christ Jesus now, the effect of Christ Jesus, God thinks, my son, what my son has done, everyone who by simply believing what my son has done, my thoughts are, they are righteous. That righteousness of my son Jesus belongs to them. It's theirs. Despite their personal sin, despite their journey of sanctification, despite all of that, my thoughts are that those who believe in my son Jesus Christ, no matter what, they come into a right relationship. My son's righteousness belongs to them. Can you see how secure this incredible truth is, that God, this gospel of God, this good news of God? That's why it's so important to understand how God thinks and how one man's sin affected all mankind. That was the thoughts of God, and that becomes an actual reality. We own that sin, despite it was the same with Christ Jesus. The righteousness of Christ Jesus, exactly as we believe, by simply believing that righteousness, it belongs to us now. We now, God's dealing with us all the time. He deals with us through this incredible truth. The righteousness of Christ belongs to you and I. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it's verse 17, about in Christ we are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. He's given us a ministry of reconciliation, not counting our sins against us. See, that is that not counting, there's imputation. Where God doesn't count, why? Because righteousness belongs to us. Okay. He disciplines, that's dealing with personal sin. But we're speaking about the position, we're speaking about our standing. We've now, as we simply believe, we are now standing in this grace of God through faith. Okay, that's what we're dealing with over there. That's the security that you and I as believers have. Okay, and that's why it's such a freedom as we look, as we start off last week there, that salvation deals with guilt. It just delivers us from guilt. It delivers us from condemnation. All of mankind was guilty. They were condemned. The wages of sin is death. They had fallen short. Now in Christ Jesus, we have been declared right standing with God. Now, that's why in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, in Christ Jesus, there is no more condemnation for us who believe. Okay. So now it deals with the guilt. Now you and I are totally free from guilt. We're totally free from condemnation. We in a right standing with God. That is liberating. Since we, as Galatians 5, in Christ we have our freedom. We need to make sure that we stand in that freedom through the way we think, et cetera, and just don't get confused again, but simply believing, oh God, because what happens when and that if we don't understand the difference between original sin and how original sin was imputed to us, we get confused with personal sin, and now we've lost our salvation, et cetera, and it just brings so much confusion into the body of Christ. Paul carries on, and he carries on. I'm just repeating this a little bit more over here. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that comes by the grace of one man. The angel said to the shepherds, I'm bringing you good news that's going to bring you great joy to all mankind. A savior has been born. the good news is God's Jesus. And so how much more the joy, the freedom, the liberation because of this incredible act of God that took place through his son Jesus Christ. So just as through Satan, coming and saying, how can I get sin into this world? God says, I've already planned it, and I'm bringing righteousness into the world through the one man, Jesus Christ. Through the one man, Jesus Christ, righteousness. So Christ came to destroy the devil's work. This is the good news, guys. As we grasp this, we begin to understand the authority now that we have in Christ Jesus. And we'll start to understand how to walk in the authority in knowing what Satan did in bringing in, but what Christ has done. And Christ is the power. Christ has destroyed. Christ in the cross over there has triumphed over all the forces of darkness. And so God is helping us in just simply understanding how he thinks so that we can now just start to receive this and to start to walk in the reality of our right standing with God. And that's there's authority there. We'll look on as we carry on over there. Now we carry on. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one man and brought condemnation, all are guilty. Salvation, God's good news is he delivers us from guilt and condemnation. That's one aspect. The other aspect, he delivers from the power of sin. The other aspect, he delivers us from what we will call the pollution of sin. He delivers us from that. But the gift followed many, the judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. In Christ, we've been acquitted. We're in our standing. We have God's approval, you and I. Even when we mess up, we've got God's approval because of sin in Christ. God deals with us all the time through his son Jesus. That's the good news. That's the good news. It frees us from all that guilt, from all that condemnation. It frees us from wanting to hide from God. It frees us from all of that stuff. God deals with us, not guilty. God deals with us as righteous people, because as God thinks about the righteousness that is in his son, as we believed, it belongs to you and I. Now, we can carry on, but I see time is gone over here. We will carry on as we go there. What is it? Just a practical application in regards to faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. When God speaks to you and I, we know what's in his mind. We have the mind of Christ. When we, by faith, remember, faith is being fully persuaded, divine persuasion, that what God is saying is absolute truth. As we, by faith, believe, that which is on the mind of God now belongs to you and I. Guys, that is life-changing. Let's take Isaiah 53. All our sins have been placed upon Christ, all our sickness, all our disease. That's the thoughts of God. That was the mind of God. That's his imputation. All of our stuff was imputed. God thought in God's, everything about the fall of mankind is going to belong to Jesus Christ on that cross. Everything that the fall, the consequences, everything. And as you and I simply believe what God's thoughts are concerning you and I and his son Jesus in his death and resurrection, those thoughts of God belong to you and I. That's why there's the healing. Psalm 103. Forget not the benefits of salvation, who heals all our sicknesses and our diseases and forgives all our sins. And it carries on. That's the mind of God. You see, how is that imputed? How is that credited to you, and how does it get to belong? That promise, that thoughts of God, we need to get that so that it belongs to you and I. It's by faith. We simply believe that, and now all of a sudden that belongs to us. So that truth about salvation is our life. It belongs to us. We receive it and we start to walk in that. Okay? Let's take for instance, for here in Salzburg, 194 in Navon, you shared this the other day, but you didn't realize it's about imputation. When God spoke about 1947 and that, yes, it's in like a prophetic dream vision kind of utterance, etc. However, God, 3 weeks later, God gave me the scripture in Isaiah chapter 2 and Isaiah chapter 4. So now I had the thoughts of God. I've got the mind of God. How does that belong to me? How does that belong to the believers? as we simply believe. In that faith, as Abram believed, what was in the mind of God was transferred and it belonged to Abraham. When God speaks to you and I, he's showing you his mind, the mind of Christ, and as you and I simply believe now, that now belongs to you and I. And now we start to walk with that confidence, being fully persuaded that God is able to do what he has promised because he shared his thoughts to us. He shared his mind to you and I. So now we can start walking. That's why without faith, it's impossible to please God, because faith brings us into the reality of what is on the mind of God. And what's on the mind of God brings great pleasure to God. His thoughts for us are good, you know. So if we're not, guys, when you have dreams and you have visions, etc., I beg you, don't just run with that. Ask God to confirm it with his word. Really get the thoughts of God through his word. It's your safety net. And so as he shares with you in your quiet times through the scriptures, confirming your dreams, confirming your visions, confirming the prophetic words and everything like that over there, something takes place. Now all of a sudden there's no doubt, because you had confirmation and you are now fully persuaded. You have the thoughts, you have the mind, you have what God is considering. And it's by faith, as we receive that, it now belongs to you and I. Every promise is yes in Christ Jesus, because the good news is his son Jesus and what he has done. And so guys, as you and I just simply receive by faith God's thoughts, you know it's now been transferred. God's thoughts now belong to you and I. When God considers something, then in his sight, we have it. That's powerful. If God is considering us as righteous, then we have the legal status of righteousness. Even though we may fail righteously many, many times from the body of sin, and that's the personal, the body of sin, we still get there. And that when God shares with you, and I'm repeating this because this is life changing as this just gets established within you and I. As God thinks, so as he shares to you in your quiet times, as he shares to you in whatever way, how he shares with you, you've got the mind of Christ. If you receive that by simply believing, you know now it belongs to you. That's the guarantee. That's what faith is really all about. That which is the mind of God, his thoughts, now by faith, it belongs to you. That's powerful. So his thoughts about his provision, his thoughts about our future, his thoughts about everything, about the families, whatever he's been speaking about, and that as we believe that, you know it belongs. Now we walk in that fully persuasion that God is able. Everything will come to try and persuade us otherwise. But that's why we've got to renew the mind. We've got the helmet of salvation. Okay? The good news of God is now our mindset. That way we think. So we are thinking now, God, you spoke to me. It actually belongs to me. Now you walk. That's the authority. That's the kingdom authority that you and I step into, as we simply believe, and we now have the thoughts of God now belonging to you and I. Nothing can persuade us otherwise. Okay, so guys, this is good news. This is how we start to walk in the evidence of the manifestation of what's in the mind of God for you and I, what's in the mind of God for our communities, for our families, what's in the mind of God for our nation, what's in the mind of God. Simply believing as God shares his thoughts to you and I. And by the Holy Spirit, he shares the deep things that's in the heart of God. This is good news. As children of God, wow, couldn't be in a better place. So, yeah, so today what I want to do is we're going to just have the communion. And, just have the time to receive, have the time to be able to just, whatever God is sharing, And maybe there's just that time of once again connecting, God, you spoke, but I've been persuaded otherwise, and it's just coming back. Thank you. That which you have shared, it belongs to me. I receive it. It's life-changing, guys. You'll understand, Audrey, remember, radical grace, radical faith, governmental authority. This is what's opening up for us as the family of God. So let's have the communion. Father, before we even start, we're just so in awe of your incredible good news to mankind. To know that how you think we can actually get that to belong to us, to manifest, to become our reality by the gift of faith that you give us. We so value the way you speak to us, the way you persuade us, what's on your heart, what's on your mind, your thoughts, your considerations, all of that you fully persuade us, and we can just simply believe as Abraham is an example. So we want to thank you, Father, for your son Jesus, because in Jesus, you brought righteousness into this world. To know that we are a new creation in you, a righteous creation, a righteous people, this incredible righteous family of God. We want to thank you that you came and you destroyed the enemy's work. And so we want to thank you for your power in bringing out the full deliverance to mankind. And we want to thank you for our participation as you have shared with us and how we can be so one with you in rejoicing in being free of guilt, in rejoicing in being free of condemnation, in having the boldness to be in your presence, having the boldness to just rest and lie in your presence and to enjoy time with you and no condemnation, no fear, nothing like that. To know how this perfect love of yours drives that fear, because fear has to do with judgment. And in your son, we've been acquitted. So there's no fear. We can be ourselves in your presence. We want to thank you, Father, for how you work in us by the Holy Spirit in dealing with our personal sins, in dealing with that and the power of the blood of Christ that continues to purify us from all unrighteousness. There's such good news for us who simply believe, Father, and receive your gift, your initiative. Everything is from your side, and we can just receive that and walk in that with you in a relationship. What good news. So Lord Jesus, as we partake this morning in celebrating your death, celebrating your resurrection, and celebrating the power of your broken body and the power of your incredible blood, we want to thank you that the benefits of salvation belongs to us who believe. And that is why the power of God it's for those, it's the power of God for those who believe. And we want to thank you that we can live in your power, Lord Jesus, and what you have done in delivering us from all of the consequences of Adam's disobedience. We give you the praise and glory for this morning. Amen. Amen. Just enjoy the communion with God this morning.